Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham. Bahrain's government says its political and human rights crisis is over. And to prove it, they're hosting the Formula One Grand Prix in the coming days. The race was canceled last year after a brutal crackdown on protests. There were mass arrests, and hundreds of people were brought before special military courts. Some received long prison sentences for free expression and peaceful assembly. Nada Daif was one of those people. She's been sentenced to 15 years in prison for treating injured protesters. She's the mother of two young girls.
I'm an oral and dental surgeon. I have my private practice back in Manama, the capital of Bahrain. That's what I do.
I spoke with her when she was in New York earlier this month.
I'm an accidental activist, basically, and this was not something that I planned for. I would look at it as it's something that I was pushed to do.
Bahrain is a tiny country made up of 33 islands in the Gulf. It's ruled by a Sunni family, but the majority of the population is Shia. Its protest movement has asked for more political participation for Shias and other minorities. Before she decided to go down to the Pearl Roundabout, the center of the protests in the capital, Manama, Nada Daif said she didn't know much about what was happening there. Her life, she says, centered around her gated community located on a man-made island.
I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you that, but it's like all about fashion, about my social life, the social gatherings.
But on February 14th of last year, she decided to check out the protests. I asked her why.
Okay, this is, again, another thing I'm not proud to say, but it was something fashionable to do. It started from Tunisia, then it moved to Egypt, then it moved to Yemen, and it was the trend. So I decided to do something different in the Valentine's rather than going out with Habibi, that's my husband, and spend the Valentine, to do something, to go on a protest maybe for once in my life. And I thought it's something similar like what we see in Europe and in London at the Hyde Park, where they hold these banners and they say free our detainees or constitutional reform, which I had no idea, basically. I've never read the constitution before. So it's one thing, you know, time. I'll go there and I'll just hold this banner and then go back home. And next time I'll talk about it in my social gatherings with my friends. And, oh, I did that and... basically, that's it.
What Nada Daif saw at the protest changed her life for good. The security forces shot at the crowd. They were using rubber bullets and birdshot at close range. Protesters were injured and killed. Bahrain's uprising came to be called the February 14th Revolution.
There is a moral obligation that I have to speak about it and say something about it. We were standing there on the grass thinking, what can we do? What can we do to help them? So the idea of establishing a medical tent came up, and I worked with my other colleagues on it instantly. I have a few connections with people, so I could easily got the tent and connections here and there. We could provide medical supplies and medication and equipment, and it all happened in a few hours. So in that way, I felt that I can be really useful.
Nada helped out with the medical tent for about a month. The protests were eventually put down through crackdowns, and the Pearl Roundabout was cleared, including the medical tent. There was a wave of arrests of doctors and prominent activists.
They started arresting the political figures immediately. Next day, they started with the doctors. So we were the second target group for the Bahraini regime. I was arrested on the 19th of March, early hours in the morning at dawn time, about 3 a.m. in the morning. They raided my house and they took me right from there. It was not just, they were not just punishing me before coming to my house an hour or so before. They went to my family's house and they put my family, my 80 years old father and my mother, who's sick and on medication, at a gunpoint. And they forced my brother to escort them to my house and show them the way. They wanted everybody in my family, basically everyone, to know that I'm getting arrested. They wanted to make them live in that fear. I was detained for about 2 months. To be exact, 50 days. And at the first 22 days, I was kept in a solitary confinement in a very small wooden cell. It's like 1.5 by 2 meters. And I was subjected to physical torture, lots of beating, kicking. And at one session, I was subjected to electrocution. Of course, the verbal abuse was so intensive, and the mental and psychological torture was unbelievable. I can't just go in the details of that. It's very overwhelming. And just to think of it, it feels like this huge golf ball is stuck in my throat. So I'm sorry.
Nada appeared before a military court along with 19 other medical professionals. The court said she had confessed during an interrogation to participating in a sit-in, that she demanded the removal of the Minister of Health, that she took part in a march at the Pearl Roundabout on International Women's Day and devoted her efforts to supporting the medical tent. She was found guilty.
We saw people convicted and sentenced to life terms for doing things like meeting and deciding that protests in favor of a republic should happen, and then organizing such protests.
That's Josh Colangelo Bryan, the author of a recent report on Bahrain for Human Rights Watch.
The military tribunals were remarkably open in finding people guilty of crimes and sentencing them to long jail terms on the basis of political protest. When I say open, I mean the verdicts that these courts issued literally speak about political activities that are protected by international and Bahraini law as being the basis for prosecutions. So, for example, in the case of the doctors and other medical personnel, you have a nurse who was sentenced to prison because she allegedly stepped on a photograph of the prime minister. You have a rheumatologist who was sentenced to prison because allegedly she contacted the manager of the Manchester United Football Club and asked him to observe a moment of silence before a game in honor of a Bahraini boy who died in a protest while wearing a Manchester United shirt. You have another defendant who was convicted in part of correcting spelling errors in a political statement. Now, as a lawyer who was denied entry to Bahrain during the time of the military tribunals, it was very useful to have these verdicts because you don't actually need to go see a proceeding to understand the true nature of the trials. All you have to do is read the verdicts. All you have to do is look at the court's language, and the inescapable conclusion is that people are in jail right now in Bahrain for doing nothing other than saying, we'd like to have a greater role in the political process.
Nada Daif and the other medical professionals are now appealing their convictions in Bahrain's civilian courts. But Josh Colangelo Bryan says the U.S. and other foreign governments need to put real pressure on the government of Bahrain. The U.S. sees Bahrain as an ally in the region. It has a military base there and sells arms to the government.
The U.S. should be publicly supporting calls for a form of government that involved some manner of democracy. It should certainly be voicing openly its concern about those who have been railroaded in political prosecutions. It should be talking about the fact that the commission that the king created found that there was systematic abuse of detainees, yet nobody other than a few low-level cops appears to be the subject of any prosecution in that regard. And we know that whatever value quiet diplomatic conversations might have, and it doesn't appear that they have much, that public statements do have meaning.
That was Josh Colangelo Bryan, author of a report called No Justice in Bahrain. And we also heard from Nada Daif, a doctor who's been sentenced to 15 years in prison in Bahrain. She's hoping that her conviction and those of other doctors and activists will be thrown out. And that's Rights Watch for today. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about us, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.